Microsoft wants to fragment Windows and Xbox, it tops the Sony list. Happy Friday, friends! Ooh, I smacked the desk there. Sorry if that came through on the mic. Happy Friday, friends. Hopefully you had a wonderful week. Another week has come. Another week is gone. And we're going to do podcasting because that's, you know, that's my weekly mental therapy, talking to myself at a camera and I'm off to a great start. Just making up words. Hopefully you had a wonderful week. There's a lot to digest. Some things are starting to leak out. And, well, Xbox managed to top a Sony list, which is also somewhat ironic. So let's just dive into the news, shall we? Because there are some leaks, and the leaks are always interesting. So the first sort of thing up here on the agenda are the new Snapdragon PCs are starting to leak out, which means that, hey, they're right around the corner. Walking Cat has found a bunch of images for a bunch of different devices. This is a Lenovo specific model here up on the display. And if you're on the audio side, it might be worth checking out just because the wallpaper is the bloom, but it's a colorful bloom. It's a rainbowy-ish sort of gradient, sort of RGB-tastic bloom at the end of the day. And I think this is probably going to become the standard wallpaper. What I don't know here, and this is the question, is this the default wallpaper on devices that have NPUs? Is this the default wallpaper on devices that are Snapdragon devices? Or is this the default wallpaper for 24H2? We don't know. This is the mystery of life, friends. I mean, okay, this isn't the biggest mystery, but this when Microsoft changes a wallpaper is a very symbiotic sort of planting of the flag, if you will, of things changing. And so when you see that, it's a big deal. I know I'm geeking out on this sort of stuff, but I like it. It's interesting. It's super. It's fun. Now, one of the crazy things here is Microsoft is like, I don't envy the people who are going to be on the Windows 11 marketing team trying to navigate this really tricky little spot, because information that also came out as we've gotten more Canary builds is that the AI Explorer, which is sort of, think of it as, remember Timeline? It's sort of like an amped up, juiced up, non-terrible Timeline, and it can actually do everything and not just specific apps that are tying into the API for Timeline. And so this AI Explorer, which will allow you to kind of dive back in time or to any previous state from what we understand so far, looks like it might be exclusive to these ARM chips, like these ARM CPUs, these ARM devices, which is like, okay, like, is that really, Microsoft really going to do this? Ooh, yikes. And the reason why people are like, crap, what's the big, because what about Intel and AMD? Because Intel and AMD have been the core, the foundation, the bedrock, if you will, and more so maybe Intel than AMD, but AMD is not like far behind of like, you know, being Windows. And so to keep this AI feature, which is AI at the end of the day, not available on Intel devices, that's really weird. Like it's fragmenting Windows. Now, granted, you could probably make that argument today because some of the new ARM chips have like the background blur, but those features have all been pretty superficial. And AI Explorer kind of sounds like maybe it's actually a thing you might want to use. And so maybe this is the reason why they're locking it to ARM devices, at least initially, or at least for now, as we know it, to get you to go out and buy one, because that is what you should be doing with your hard-earned dollar twos. Now, there's also the other side of this is like, what if you're Intel, what do you do? Like, what? Hey, don't worry about AI Explorer. We have our own NPUs coming. And do those take advantage? Do they get AI Explorer? These are the things we're going to be paying attention to at like build and the upcoming announcements. It's like, but right now the information looks like it's just locked to ARM devices, and Microsoft is going to be doing this. Now, this might actually give us some color, if you will. But remember how it was always like, is it Windows 11? Is it Windows 12? Now we kind of believe it's all locked in on Windows 11. And this might be why. Because think about it this way. If they said that this was Windows 12 and all of a sudden Windows 12 comes out and there's ARM chips, there's Intel chips, and there's AMD chips, and ARM chips are better than Intel chips, and they have a much better marketing push, Intel's going to get real angry about that. Be like, we've been partners for decades, and all of a sudden you're saying ARM chips, screw Intel. That legitimately might be why this is called Windows 11 24H2, and they didn't go to the Windows 12, because Intel didn't want to be sitting there saying like, okay, yeah, we have less capable devices of running Windows than some other manufacturers. That would not sit well, and that might realistically be why it is called Windows 11 24H2 at the end of the day. So there you go. interesting. Like, this is the stuff that gets me excited, because it's like, okay, we can start to see the strategy materializing. We start to see what Microsoft is going to do. But now they got to go to market with it. Now they got to explain this. Now they got to tell us why we should buy an ARM chip. And now we have a little bit better. And well, maybe this is it. Maybe there's more. Maybe Intel gets certain things. We don't know. We will find out soon enough. So other things happening on the hardware side. This guy, and I've actually met him multiple times and talked with him, Rolf over on the Surface team, has announced that he has retired from Microsoft. So Rolf was a big deal. He was, if you like Surface stuff, you absolutely know who he is. I wrote a book called Beneath the Surface. I'll link to it in the description if you're really curious and nerdy about the background and history of Surface. But he has retired, which is sort of an end of an era, if you will. Because, right, Panos has left. The only one who's left is Stevie. And Stevie's still around. I've confirmed that he's still at Microsoft. But, you know, with Panos gone, with Rolf gone, and Stevie maybe retiring in the near future, well, you know, it's the end of, like, the original Surface crew. Obviously, we know Sanofsky was part of that, but he was gone a long time ago. So, like, the people who were left who were still championing this and really building this stuff out have left Microsoft at the end of the day. That is a pretty big deal. And so, yeah. Other things that are a pretty big deal, Microsoft accidentally put Copilot on Windows Server, and they did, like, a big, did I do that sort of thing? Because they accidentally, apparently it showed up via Edge and got slammed into Server. And yeah, that's really not good when these servers run mission critical workloads and Microsoft's messaging is like, you should always update. And then they run an update and then it shoves some Copilot AI stuff on a very sensitive piece of software running on very expensive hardware. That doesn't sit too well. And they said it's an accident. They definitely won't do that. Just like they definitely didn't steal data from Chrome and import it into Edge on accident, if you will. Microsoft also on the AI side is dodging a little bit of an issue in the EU, which is surprising when it comes to their open AI investment. It's being reported that they are not going to get probed about their investment, and that's not the same or true, I should say, in the US and in the UK, who are both opening investigations because they've, at the end of the day, like, they don't own OpenAI, but they've also been, like, a massive investor and kind of control part of it, even though they're not on the board, but they're also in, like... If OpenAI just said, we're going to pivot all our stuff to Google Cloud, you don't think Microsoft would have some say in that? Like, you don't really think that they would. Technically, they say they don't, but we know that they do. Clipchamp video editing has a new faster way to remove long silences. And so if that makes sense to you, you will know why that is important, especially when you're doing, like, podcast editing, pulling out those ums and awkward silences can be a big pain in the butt sometimes. So just that is there. Also, if you're on Windows 10, by the way, they don't want you using local accounts, according to an image taken by Neowen. Actually, it's not according to, it's absolutely true. So if you run a local account, a non-Microsoft MSA, like an Outlook.com account, they're going to start nagging you when you open the settings screen. You can see right here, they're like, hey, you should sign up for one. You should totally do that. You should definitely link all that stuff up so we can profile you. I mean, provide better service and features and functionality to you. Definitely not to profile you and help you get information to Microsoft. Definitely not that. So, yes. On to the gaming news. There is a little bit of gaming news this week. There are more keyboard and mouse access are coming to cloud gaming. So if you are in the beta or the Delta Cloud Gaming Insider group, or you're a PC gamer, you now have more access to more titles with more keyboard and mice. And so that is always a good thing. Sea of Thieves, which this is a big number, hits 40 million players on Xbox and PC ahead of PlayStation launch. That's a lot of people. And PlayStation launch looks like it's going to be a big one because of this little bit of information that Xbox has topped Sony on their own store. So if you go look at the top 25 best-selling games, according to Derek here, which you can go validate yourself, there's more Microsoft / Xbox titles on the top 25 games than there are actually Sony games. Now, we know the primary reason for this is a lot of Activision titles. You can see, like, Call of Duty is a big one and a lot of all that Bethesda stuff going on. But you can't ignore the fact that Microsoft had 7 of the top 25 best-selling games on the PlayStation Store, while Sony only had 5. So, yeah. I mean, good job for Microsoft. This is what they wanted. Granted, they spent nearly $70 billion to get there, and you can make arguments one way or another if that was money well spent. But the fact is that they did, and the deal's closed. And here we are with Microsoft topping the charts on other platforms, and this is what they want at the end of the day. They want to be a software company with this high, delicious margins, and they want to be on every store, and they want to be owning that content strategy. And so as of right now, it looks like it's paying off, at least from a clout perspective at the end of the day. We don't know about the actual financials at the end of the day, because at the end, you know, Microsoft, it does depend on Xbox to make money, and they spent a lot of money to take these titles on the Sony store. And so, was it worthwhile? Too early, I think, in my mind to say one way or another it was de facto. I think this is honestly one of those things, like, you got to look back in 10 years and see where Xbox is in the ecosystem. Like, are they a dominant player? Do they own the home console market in 10 years? I don't think that they will, but I don't think the biggest hole, like, hurt this is going to apply to Microsoft is just not having that $70 billion of capital to deploy elsewhere. But that's why you have it. You have it to buy things like Activision and AI and all this stuff. And it's not like Microsoft is hurting for money either way. But it was a massive, massive gamble, no matter how you want to slice that piece of gaming cake. So, also things happening in the world of Xbox. The Xbox MasterCard is now available, I think, to everybody in the United States. I don't think outside the United States. Yeah, like I was trying to decide if I was going to even bring this up. I don't. The value here is that for every dollar you spend, I believe it has no annual fee, which is a good thing. Although, double check that. Double check before you sign up for anything, before you run any credit reports. Double check that if you're interested in that sort of thing. It's basically you get 1 point for every dollar spent, and then if it's like certain, like me, like if you go buy stuff in the Microsoft store, you get like 5x the points and whatever. And you can redeem it for Game Pass. And so if you're a huge, and I mean huge gamer where you're spending just a lot of money on Xbox, maybe this makes sense. I'm not one to dish out financial advice when it comes to credit card. However, I will say this one just doesn't feel right to me. Like, I know everybody on the planet does this. I think Sony has one, right? Every airline does it. Verizon, my mobile provider, is like, get us our credit card, because it's just a cheap, easy way for them to make money. My personal opinion, and this is my personal opinion, is I get a cashback card like an Amex. Some of them have fees. It's a game. If you're not familiar with the credit card point stuff, it is an absolute game and strategy about how you, and nobody can tell you how you spend your own money. And then I much prefer cashback or points that are not tied to any specific platform. That way you can use them. Yes, they may not be the perfect optimal card to get the maximum amount of value, but like I use an Amex. I'll drop a link in the description too of the one that I use. And then like, then you can use those points anywhere. Like the Delta one we had, this is annoying, you guys log in, whatever. Listen, I had a Delta card, but then Delta really restricted things. So I just went to the Amex generic travel one with cashback, and it's been so much better than anything else. So anyways, deviation aside, let's dive into the question. Oh, there is quite a few questions on the hopper. Schluter, I wonder if they're related. I doubt it. Schluter asks, there is a water sealant or like shower pan system. So if you've ever done any home DIY, like demo to shower, there's like a Schluter board system. And this person's name Schluter. And I was like, I wonder if they're related. I doubt they're related to like the Schluter. But anyways, back on track. I promise this time. I don't promise. Anyways, Schluter asks, he says, hey Brad, what's the deal about Xbox becoming a PC? So there's a lot of speculation out there right now about what is the future of the Xbox home console. At the end of the day, Microsoft, I think Phil Spencer has talked about bringing other stores to the platform. And at that point, like, let's imagine Epic or Steam or third-party stores are on the Xbox platform. At that point, it's just a PC. You know, semantics aside, it is a PC. It's an AMD CPU. It's an AMD GPU. They're all x86 for the most part. They're not some custom piece of hardware. The reason why we got used to consoles not being PCs is because back in the day, you know, back in my day sort of thing, they were like truly bespoke pieces, custom chips and everything else, because the PC chips like just didn't really exist in the way that they needed to for a console. So they created these custom chips and scenarios and boards and everything else. And now PCs are very powerful, relatively ubiquitous. And so they've gravitated more towards the PC. And so I think the further we go down the road, the more likely it is like the difference between a console and a PC continues to get smaller with each generation. And I think next generation will be the same thing. It'll continue to combine. The only caveat to that is that we've heard rumors from, it was at the FTC documents at the end of the day. It was maybe the ARM, Microsoft was considering ARM for the next generation, or maybe that's a handheld. We don't quite know. But once those chips start being better understood, we'll have a better idea of, like, you know, how truly close to a PC is this. Because at the end of the day, Microsoft wins massively. If you could run a PC game, like truly just pick up a PC game and drop it on your console, that would be a really big deal for Xbox at the end of the day. Now, someone's going to say, but Brad, why can't they just do that? Well, the primary reason right now is the whole Xbox ecosystem, right? If you're a Steam title, for lack of better examples, but you're a Steam title doesn't tie natively into Xbox, right? It doesn't tie into the push notifications, the achievements, and all that kind of stuff. Now, if Microsoft knows that they're going to be doing this, wouldn't it be hard for them to probably build a sort of standardized package, if you will, of APIs that you just take that, and honestly, it might even exist today. I could be naive, where it's just like, here's your game on Steam, follow this flowchart, and this is where you need to drop certain packages, and then it will all integrate. But that sometimes gets really hard, because games typically are relatively customized. I guess maybe they're better deal with potentially figuring how to tie into like Unreal, maybe, and maybe that is happening. Maybe that is. The Joe Finn says, any word on InCase taking over the Microsoft accessories? I love the Skull Economic Keyboard going for $300 on Amazon now, and would love a 2.4 gigahertz Bluetooth version. So back on the train up again, go back up to Ralph leaving Surface. Now, this isn't completely tied to that, but Microsoft effectively took all of their accessories, grabbed them up, and they were just going to throw them away. I'm not completely. But a company called InCase said, no, we'll take over all that. So now they're called like InCase by Microsoft or something like that, or designed by Microsoft. InCase is the brand. And so they're supposed to be taking this over. I honestly do not know, other than these products are supposed to continue to live, but maybe that announcement was more like superficial, and like now they're trying to figure out like the actual guts and details of this. Although you'd like to think that they have that done prior to it, but I don't know legitimately. Like, was there an assembly line somewhere like cranking out Sculpt ergonomic keyboards? I doubt it. And so maybe they have to like warm those relationships back up and get things back started again. So I don't have a definitive answer on that. Mr. PKI dropping a question. He says, I saw an article that Windows 11 was receiving some flack for its reportedly poor show in terms of performance for the OS on the desktop, where some interface elements were running pretty sluggishly. I noticed that typing sometimes in the start button is actually encountering a lag. I thought that might be a Start 11 problem, or is it Windows 11 Explorer? So there are, when you type that search query in, there are some prompts that fire off, or some, not services is the wrong word, but some things happen in the background that I believe are fundamental to Windows 11, because at the end of the day, you have to tap into Windows 11 search, like, to do these sorts of things. And so what Mr. PK is referring to is a former Microsoft engineer was like really lamenting about how terrible the start menu had become. And of course, because he was a former Microsoft engineer, got a whole bunch of press and a whole bunch of popularity and got a bunch of retweets and all that. And of course, Microsoft jumps in there like, oh yeah, we're fixing this, we're doing whatever, we want to triage, but it doesn't matter. I think there's plenty of reported instances of File Explorer not being the most performant, and that's probably one of the biggest issues with Windows 11 at the end of the day, from an outsider perspective, moving from 10 to 11 is, candidly, the performance. So I would tie it more to Windows 11, less to Start 11. So, Chunga jumps into the question hoops and says, Brad, how is the new Outlook going? I have tried to use it again, again, and again, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but every single time I end up going back. I am the same way. So my biggest, there's a lot of pet peeves, but here is fun one that you, my friends, can try at home. So if you are, let's say you have your inbox open, and you got a bunch of messages you need to delete. Use your mouse, first off, try it with your mouse, and go up on the right side, there's a little trash can icon, start clicking it. The animated icons are slow, which means what happens is after you do like two of them, or maybe sometimes it's even one, you actually end up opening the next email rather than closing it. They need to make that trash can icon persistent in the same spot and not tied to the animation, so that way you can just go up there and go click, 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 click a whole bunch of times and then delete them all. Otherwise, you just start opening emails, which is bad. It gets even worse than that. I can reproduce this on my keyboard on two different devices. If you open up that same inbox, it doesn't matter what inbox really, and you have a bunch of messages and you start saying, Brad, Don't be a mouse clicker. Be a keyboard warrior, which I am. I love keyboard shortcuts. Start smacking your delete key. After you get to like 6 or 7, the whole app just kind of like goes, we can't keep up. And then either sometimes a mail will open or it just hangs. And it's like, meh. So at the end of the day, the new Outlook is not any better yet. I don't know if they're updating it or what the plan here is. But it's a sad story, like sad trombone noises at the end of the day. And Mr. PKI dropping the last question of the week, as he likes to do. He says, a fun one to end the week. As Fallout Vegas director said, the Fallout TV show sends fans to the Bethesda game in droves. Did we see the same with the Halo TV show sending people to play Halo Infinite? The first season, I'm pretty sure the answer to that was no. Also, because Halo Infinite was in a massively different state when that first season came out, which, as we all know, was not great. And we didn't see any momentum, any significant momentum like we're seeing with Bethesda this time around either, I think, on the latest season of Halo. So, I don't know. But Bethesda, if you guys haven't seen the series, it's doing great numbers for Amazon. I'm almost positive they will get extensions for this. I think they would be crazy not to. So much so, in fact, that legacy or older Fallout titles are actually climbing the ranks because people are replaying them as they watch the show. So, there you go. There you go, my friends. It has been another week. Another week is coming. Another week is gone. Next week will be an important week. Microsoft drops earnings next week. I want to say it's the 25th, which I think is Thursday, potentially. And so we'll get new Windows numbers, new Surface numbers, new whole bunch of other stuff. So make sure to keep it subscribed here, because the only BS on this podcast is me.